Welcome to Treasure Coast Happenings, events of interest in our community. Here's your host, Drew Mello.
Joining me today is Sean Sexton with the Laura Riding Jackson Foundation, their seventh annual poetry and barbecue event, Madam, I'm Adam, The Male Dilemma, will take place on Sunday, April 2nd from 3 to 7 p.m. at the Jackson Home on the Environmental Learning Center campus in Vero Beach. April is National Poetry Month. Sean, welcome back to Treasure Coast Happenings.
Thank you for having me. I love coming on this program and talking to you, Drew.
And congratulations. Since we last talked, you were named the first poet laureate for Indian River County. That is quite an honor.
They kind of sprung it on me, you know. But somebody said to me, well, never feel bad about anybody who wants to acknowledge what you're doing. And that's how I take it.
You should. They were right. Well, last year's Poetry and Barbecue was about the women. This year, it's the men's turn with Madam, I'm Adam. Tell me about the poets you'll be featuring.
We have a roofer, a warrior, and I guess an existentialist. I think they're all existentialists in certain ways. Maybe they're all three things. I figure that we have the full profile of the possibilities of Adam. Ken Hart, who's one of the poets, he's from New Jersey. He said, what is the male dilemma? I said, it's a man's world, you know. And he said, well, why is that a dilemma? And I said, well, if you care about things, it is a dilemma. And we have to deal with that. We have to be men, right? We have to be responsible. It's a complete dilemma. Brian Turner is an Iraqi war vet. He returns from that into a burgeoning career in poetry. He's written a memoir that's on the New York Times bestselling list. It's called My Life as a Foreign Country. And he's written two just powerful books of poetry. And somebody said during the moon landing, when they saw it on TV, the first one, they said, well, someday they'll send a poet there and we'll know what it's really like. Brian has brought a dispatch back from a place arguably as complex as the moon.
And the third poet?
Third poet is Tony Hoagland. He is a national treasure, a world figure in poetry. I can't believe I got these guys to come. I said, come and tithe to the Church of Poetry on our behalf. So we're in for a great time. I just hope that the public understands who we've really got on our hands here and that they come.
I'm speaking today with Sean Sexton with the Laura Riding Jackson Foundation and the Poet Laureate of Indian River County. Now, your main event is Sunday, April 2nd, but you've actually got a couple of workshops
the day
before.
Yes, Ken Hart is going to do a teen writer's workshop. It's customary to have one of these guys, if they're willing, to do a teen writer's poetry workshop. And we've also have an adult writer's workshop, Polishing Your Poem to Present. My friend Steve Bradbury's coming from Fort White. He's a former professor from the University of Taiwan in Taipei and studied Chinese and taught literature 25 years. He's going to do the adult workshop.
Is poetry something that can be taught?
Well, it's a good question. I don't know. I think that you can learn things from the practitioners. You can follow what they've learned and succeeded at in spending their lifetimes doing it. There are matters of form, you know, there are formal aspects to poetry that can be conveyed. But ultimately, it's just like dancing, you know. Somebody can show you the steps, but you've got to dance. You've got to fall down, right?
I've been speaking today with Sean Sexton, the Poet Laureate of Indian River County, also with the Laura Riding Jackson Foundation. We'll have a link to them, as well as Sean reading some of the poetry of the poets who will appear at Poetry and Barbecue on our website, WQCS.org. Sean, always great to see you. Thanks so much for coming in today and joining me on Treasure Coast Happenings.
Well, thank you so much, Drew. I'm just delighted that you all are interested in what we're doing and helping us by bringing us on the air and letting us talk about it.
And now let's listen to Sean reading some of the poetry of the featured poets at this year's Poetry and Barbecue.
This is Sadiq by Brian Turner, and the epigraph reads, "It is a condition of wisdom in the archer to be patient, because when the arrow leaves the bow, it returns no more. It should make you shake and sweat, nightmare you, strand you in a desert of irrevocable desolation, the consequences seared into the vein. No matter what adrenaline feeds the muscle, its courage, no matter what God shines down on you, no matter what crackling pain and anger you carry in your fists, my friend, it should break your heart to kill." This poem is Gilgamesh in Fossil Relief by Brian Turner. In the month of Ab, late summer of the 7th century BCE, a poet chisels text into stone tablets, etching 3,000 lines and brushing them by hand, the dust blown off with a whispered breath. He is translating the old Sumerian epic, reinventing the city of Uruk, the wild man and the woman sent out to seduce him. It is an old story now. It was an old story then, full of gods and beasts and the inevitable, points of no return. Each age must learn. In the mid-August heat of the year 2004, an archaeologist pauses over an outline of bone, one's body's signature in the earth, which he reads carefully with a camel hair brush and patience, each hairline fracture revealing. History is a cloudy mirror made of dirt and bone and ruin and love, loss. These are the questions we must answer by war and famine and pestilence, and again by touch and kiss, because each age must learn this is the path of the sun's journey by night. This is a poem by Tony Hoagland entitled Please Don't. Please don't tell the flowers they think the sun loves them. The grass is under the same simple-minded impression about the rain, the fog, the dew, and when the wind blows, it feels so good they lose control of themselves and swab toggle wildly around, bumping accidentally into their slender neighbors, forgetful little lotus eaters, solar-powered hydraulics drawing nourishment up through stems into their thin green skin, high on the expensive chemistry of mitochondrial explosion, believing that the dirt loves them, the night, the stars, reaching down a little deeper with their pale albino roots, all dizzy Gillespie with the utter sufficiency of everything. They don't imagine lawnmowers, the four stomachs of the cow, or human beings with boots who stop to marvel at their exquisite flexibility and color. They persist in their soft-headed hallucination of happiness, but please don't mention it, not yet. Tell me, what would you possibly gain from being right? And this is Ken Hart. It's called Looking for Kim's Love. Most nights after we showered, Kim tied dark blue strips of cloth into her wet hair, went to bed that way, and woke up kinky. In the summer evening, she took out her contacts and wore those cat's eye glasses, walked around the apartment looking like some tired Medusa, little blue rags sprouting from her head. I always said that she should keep them in because I liked the way she looked, and I secretly maybe fell a little more in love with her. You should get a job testing mouse traps with your tongue. That's the sort of thing she'd say to me that made me feel loved and foolish. Kim's with someone else now, and there's nothing I can do about that. You only get one chance in this life, is what my friends tell me. I don't believe that, but I'm going to start acting like it's true.